God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When the people of Israel were promised by God to enter into the promised land, they were not always faithful. They sometimes grumbled against God. They sometimes didn't necessarily trust God in his promises. And maybe it was out of fear, or maybe it was out of self-security. But needless to say, God caused them to wander a few more years until it came time for them to enter the promised land. And when they entered the promised land, you have to realize that there were still people there. People that had to, in one essence, be conquered. And by God's command, even killed. In one essence, this took a lot of faith and trust to sit there and say, yes, God promised us this land, and we're going to take this land. Joshua, who was now leading the people of Israel, then sent a couple spies into the area of Jericho. He sort of wanted to check out the land. In doing so, the spies sort of entered the city, but the people sort of got wind of this. They had heard that the people of Israel were on their way, and Jericho would be one of the first places. They also had heard what God had done for the people of Israel before, which is almost sort of begs the question. If someone was coming to conquer your land, and God was with them and done very miraculous things, wouldn't you be a little bit afraid? And yes, there was fear. So when the spies entered the land, or into the city, they kind of had to scope things out, do so a little quietly, and then had to seek refuge because people were suspicious. It was Rahab, who was a prostitute, who took them in. And her testimony, which wasn't part of our reading for today, brings out this aspect that the people were afraid. They were afraid of the God who had led the Israelites there because of all the mighty things that they had heard. And so Rahab trusted in God at that point and sheltered the spies, did not turn them in, even when the king requested Rahab to do so. Instead, she sent the king on a wild goose chase, so to speak, and when the coast was clear, let the spies down, but with a promise. I saved your life. You need to save my life. Needless to say, the spies said, sure. Just don't tell people who we are. We'll keep the secret safe. And when the time comes, here is that scarlet cord in which our text talks about. Well, today we're going to use this passage to deal with the concept of what happens when we are afraid, when fear comes into our lives. You know, I remember as a little boy, you know, the little song from the book, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? Well, in one essence, it depends on who or what is the big bad wolf. There are many times we are afraid and fear kicks in. But what do we do when times like that come up in our lives? What happens when fear grips us? Well, there's a beautiful passage in Holy Scripture by Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, I take a look at passages like that, and I sit there and go, okay, by faith, I trust that passage, you know, fair enough. But what happens when fear still kicks in? You see, that passage may be in my mind. It may sort of be in my heart, but my human sinful nature gets very apprehensive still. In the midst of fear, this passage may or may not provide the help that we are looking for. You see, we are human beings created by God, and we are physical, and we understand things of our senses. You know, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, our touch. We are sensual human beings. So to have a Bible passage stick into our mind, do not fear those who can kill the body, but Rather fear the one who can kill both soul and body in hell is great when I'm not really in the midst of fear. But when I'm in the midst of fear, I need something a little bit more to grab onto. So tonight, we are going to turn to a prostitute for comfort from our fears, as she trusted in God's promise. She didn't let go. Needless to say, neither should we. Rahab had received this red cord from the two escaping men. And from that day on, Rahab could fix her eyes and even touch this red cord. It was in her midst. And she could look at that and saying, this is somewhat of a symbol of the promise of God. I will be saved. And what was going on in Rahab's life? You got to remember, as soon as the spies left, it wasn't like the next day the people of Israel came. There was a period of time in there in which, you know, as soon as the posse went out looking for the spies, going in the wrong direction because Rahab was hiding them, you know, when they would come back a little disappointed, a little rejected, who were they going to start looking at? Rahab had to sort of make up in the back of her mind, was she going to be a people pleaser or serve the Almighty God? This cord provided that comfort, that strength for her in the midst of all these battles going on within her mind. A comforting reminder that she had been given the gift of life, even though it was just a simple cord. Now, I will admit, after the service, I will not be selling red scarves. Okay? Some televangelists have already done that, not necessarily red, but, you know, they had these white scarves. They said, I will pray over these scarves so that when you have these scarves, they will be a blessing to you. I'm not going to go there. I haven't prayed over red scarves. We're not going to be doing it. But as, fair enough, as human beings, we do like that physical, that tangible, that's something we can cling on to. Reminds me a little bit of the Peanuts cartoon strip, Linus in his security blanket. Well, you also have been given a security blanket, so to speak. You also have received comfort. Yes, here in this story, God does give us comfort. Joshua had earlier told these two escaping men, to enter the city, and ordered them to spy. And inside the city walls, in one essence, they were trapped. Rahab came to their rescue and held on to the promise that if I protect you, you will protect me. And this cord became that promise, maybe another way of describing it, a pledge of truth. God, your heavenly Father, has also given you a pledge of truth. No, you did not receive some red cord like Rahab. Instead, you received something a little different. For Rahab, of course, that pledge of truth was the red cord given to her as sort of the lifeline, a little bit of our comfort. Your pledge of truth is God's miracle here of baptism. Likewise, it has been given to you as a source of comfort and hope. Hear the words of Timothy chapter 3. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Baptism is your pledge of truth. Yes, Rahab could look at her red cord and grasp it tightly every time she felt afraid. And in the somewhat same way, you can also take the gift of baptism that God has given you. So when do you, God's pledge of truth, how does that baptism then help and comfort you? Well, I will admit, you can't really necessarily grab and hug baptism. Yes, there's water. You can hear it. You can see it. You can feel it. You can touch it at the moment you are baptized. But is there something more that we can continue to take with us? For tonight, let's first entertain the concept of your baptismal certificate. Following century-old practices of Lutherans, many pastors have designed, maybe even printed themselves, baptismal certificates given to those who are baptized. And this certificate is important. It's not just a piece of paper that has a signature on it, but it reflects the promise of God. This is an important certificate for your life. And many Christians tuck their baptismal certificates away safely in drawers or in closets or in safety deposit boxes. Thus, their baptismal certificates are hidden and provide little comfort for day to day. I will admit, as I was preparing this sermon, I'm thinking, where is my baptismal certificate? I don't know. I'm glad I lead by example. Not really. I think my baptismal certificate's with my mom. I hope. Well, we'll find out. Bottom line is, and to make things even worse, if I go into my office and look what's hanging on the wall, it's not my baptismal certificate. I have one document hanging on the wall. And that's my doctorate degree in ministry in the area of Christian counseling. And my baptism certificate is absent. Some comfort that I get from that certificate. So if you have a baptism certificate hidden away, now comes the challenge. Let's go and look for it and find it as soon as you are able to. Because that baptism certificate does provide a hope and comfort. It's not anything special about the paper or the signatures. Again, it's God's promise. Same thing with Rahab. Was there anything special about that red cord? Did Joshua bless it? We are not given that information. What was special about that cord was God's promise. God's promise to save her and her family. So likewise, God's promise through his own word of holy baptism to save you. And then what do we do with that baptismal certificate? Not pay much attention to it, do we? Yes, I am guilty of that. So what would happen if we actually took that baptismal certificate and hung it up on the wall? And then every time we would look at that baptismal certificate, we would remember that, yes, we were baptized. Yes, we are saved by the promises of God. Each time you see that certificate, that simple piece of paper would provide you the same comfort in the midst of fear that Rahab's red cord gave her. That is to say, your baptismal certificate is your pledge of truth, able to calm your fears and give you comfort with the assurance that, yes, God's promises are for you and they are true. The power of that baptismal certificate, again, is not in the paper. It's not in the signature. The power of baptism is not in the water. It's not in the pastor. It is in the promises of God's word given for you. I am thinking that each time Rahab felt afraid, from the moments once the spies left her with that cord and that promise, until when the people of Israel would come thinking, I have the cord, I have the promise, yes, God will deliver, that cord gave her a little bit of comfort, is what she clinged on to. And just not for her and her alone, but she now told her family and a little bit of that extended family that this is what happened. This is what took place. The spies came. I sheltered them. I led the king's armies away in a false direction. And God promises to save me and all who are in this house. You got to think for a moment. Her brothers, her relatives, knowing her lifestyle, knowing that she is, quote unquote, a sinner? Can she speak the truth about God's saving love? Does God come and save, quote unquote, sinners? I hope and pray he does, because I also am one. Needless to say, God did save her. And in the midst of that time, apparently her family also believed and trusted in the promise that Rahab then communicated to her. Likewise, in the midst of our fear, we need to remember our baptism, and the baptismal certificate hanging on our wall could provide that feeling of, yes, God is with us. God does comfort us, even in the midst when we are afraid and distressed. As Rahab's red cord comforted her and reminded her of the promise made to her, your baptismal certificate reminds you of the promise that God made to you, to comfort your fears and to remind you of the many more promises that God has made to you when you were baptized. And what were some of those promises? In baptism, God has made you an adopted child, coming from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And do not fear, because God never forsakes his children, as the author of the Hebrews reminds us. In baptism, God has washed away your sins, as the Acts of the Apostles remind us. And do not fear. Your Heavenly Father remembers your sins no more, again, as the author of the Hebrew reminds us. In baptism, God has joined you to Jesus' death. And do not be feared. If you've been joined to Jesus' death, you have also been joined to his resurrection. We hear the words from Romans chapter 6. We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In baptism, God gives you the hope of eternal life, as we heard from Titus chapter 3. And because of this, Christ dwells within you now, as your body is the temple of the Lord. Even death cannot harm you, nor overwhelm you. We may remember from the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Again, it is not the paper that makes baptism powerful, but it is our trust in God's promises that brings the desired effects of baptism. In the absence of my baptismal certificate, I will admit, is not hanging on my wall, but just to the left of that diploma is something just as important. It is a crucifix. As I see my Savior dying on the cross, again, to give me this promise of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, to reattach me to God. Now, I don't want to be misinterpreted here. I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to set up various idols in life. By all means, I'm not going to bow down and worship the crucifix, and I'm not going to bow down and worship my baptismal certificate. But they can be gentle reminders, especially in the midst of doubt and confusion of our minds, that God does not give up on his promises, but that he is there for us. These are physical reminders, because as human beings, we enjoy the physical things, the things that we can see, feel, touch, smell, and taste. And with baptism, yes, there are physical reminders. Every time we see water, we should be reminded of baptism. We can see the water. We can hear the water when the pastor pours the water on the child. And we hear the words. And during baptism, yes, we are touched with the water and God's promise given to us. God gives us baptism to save and bring comfort in our lives, even in the midst of sin, death, and the devil. And God's comfort does not just stop in baptism. God's comfort again comes to us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, where, yes, we will taste and see that the Lord is good. We receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. Now, I am told, I don't have a good sense of smell, so I have to trust others about this, that every so often, when the veil is lifted off the communion ware, some people with very sensitive smells can almost get a little bit of a whiff of that wine coming to them. It does have a special smell. And realizing as human beings, we enjoy those physical things. So whenever we see water, any type of water, we should think of our baptism. If it's raining outside, remember your baptism. If we have a bottle or glass of water, remember your baptism. And there is a rite and a liturgy within the church of taking something called a water sprinkler, filling it with water and shaking it upon people for them to remember their baptism. I guess maybe one of the reasons why I haven't done that is a little bit of fear, thinking, how would people react having water sprinkled upon them? Maybe we should set aside the church, one half sprinkling, the other half without. Needless to say, I think I might be going a little too far. Let's get back to my theme. The theme is trusting God's promises in the midst of fear. Maybe we need a little bit of that rain in our lives to remind us of, yes, of God's promises, even when we don't expect it. And maybe when it gets a little uncomfortable and we forgot our umbrella. So it is in the midst of fear. What should we do? Get wet. Get sprinkled. Remember your baptism and appreciate, for a lack of a better term, your wetness through Christ. It is God's promise that brings you comfort that we attach ourselves to in the midst of crisis. God provides comfort. Yes, Rahab probably had many fears. What should I do? Follow God Almighty or follow the ways of the world? In our own world, we also have many fears, whether it be peer pressure, fears of the economy, fears of the future, fears for our own safety, versus our loyalty and fear for God. God asks us to fear and trust in Him above all things. So when it comes to the question, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Remember your baptism. Be sprinkled with water. Remember God's promises for you for each and every day of your life. God does not forget His promises, but He is there for you, so that you can cling on to the faith that He has given to you. So this day we appreciate God's promise for you, as God fulfilled His promise to Rahab. She and her household were saved by a red cord. God remembers His promises for you by water sprinkled upon you with God's word. You are saved for eternal life. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.